10:35 now on this Thursday, March 17th. If you've been a regular listener of this show, you know that we have had a moment of intense fellowship, shall we say, with the Middlesex London Health Unit on the issue of fluoride. We've been talking about fluoride for weeks. We have shown a body of evidence, including a book written by three authors, each with their own PhD. Dr. Paul Connett, one of them, who came to London and spoke for 2 hours at the London Public Library, a turnaway crowd, a packed audience on the issue of fluoride. The Middlesex London Health Unit would not engage Dr. Connett in debate. They did not show up at the presentation. And I think, worst of all, didn't even read the book that he wrote, which I think is a terrible insult to everybody in London who is serious about the issue of fluoride. We did not have a chance last week when Dr. Bryna Warshawski spoke her piece on the air. I'm hoping that she feels that we gave her a full hearing, which I think we did. We had her on the air for a half an hour, minus commercials, and she had her say. We ended the hour and did not have a chance to respond. Well, we'd like to respond today. I have in studio this Thursday morning, as I do every Thursday morning, Pam Colleen. Now, Pam has impressive credentials. Would you run them down? Because I often get people saying, well, who is this Pam Colleen?
Anyway? I'm a consumer advocate. I do what I do to help protect consumers, just like your last segment on, you know, mislabeling and misrepresenting content in shampoos and conditioners and soaps and so on. I'm basically a consumer advocate. I've been at this for over 20 years, you know, just digging into research on my own as a consumer, as everybody listening to this show, and second-guessing a lot of what I hear from, quote, unquote, experts.
Well, it strikes me that, Pam Colleen, you fit into this larger picture, which we just heard from the CBC's Marketplace, the show they're doing tomorrow night, that you just can't trust all the people that we put into important positions, like Medical Officer of Health, like Health Canada, like the Ontario Ministry of Health, people that we trust to protect us. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't just take what they say as the gospel. True.
Well, and that's exactly right, because we have powerful lobby groups that influence government decisions. And this is, you know, the fluoride story is a classic example of that. And, you know, you have dental associations, medical associations that all have money coming in from companies like Colgate or Johnson & Johnson. And so, you know, people need to take a step back and look at, for example, this upcoming Health Canada review with six people on the panel that have a history of being pro-fluoride and potential connections to, you know, the corporations that are representing fluoride. So, you know, as we step back and wait for this Health Canada report.
When's it coming out?
We don't know. I mean, it's pending.
But it's supposed to come out soon on the issue of fluoride.
That's right. And Dr. Connett has written an article about this embarrassing report based on how these representatives have been chosen and that they do have a clear history of being pro-fluoride, when indeed they could have even had Dr. Hardy Lineback from the University of Toronto on there. And they didn't ask him explicitly. They did not ask him to be on that panel because he is, of course, anti-fluoride.
So you now have Health Canada conspiring to hide the truth.
I think that every consumer listening to this show needs to make Health Canada accountable for this review and look at a history of every individual writing this review for their for any potential conflicts of interest and for bias. So, you know, this is something very, very serious. Dr. Connett has made it very clear to me that this is something that Canada needs to, you know, investigate, that people in Canada need to investigate. And before it's published, if we can find out some questions, answers to these questions, I think we can, you know, ward off a pending disaster, actually.
Well, I get so angry when I see people in responsible positions who are afraid of revealing the truth. It struck me, and we will get to your review of Dr. Bryna in just a moment, but last night, or is it 2 nights ago now, that Ralph Nader was in town?
That's right, and I had a chance to ask him a question about fluoride because, you know, his one of his main areas of concern, of course, is drinking water. And to summarize, Andy, what he said in his answer was that fluoride, artificial fluoridation of city water, is a reckless practice. And so he was very, very clear that, you know, that you cannot properly dose fluoride when you're adding it to city water, and then there are other sources of fluoride being taken in a day. And, you know, frankly, Dr. Warshawski admitted that as well when she was when you were interviewing her last week. She actually admitted that there are several sources of fluoride, and because there are several sources of fluoride, you may end up drinking too much fluoride. And that's coming right from Dr. Warshawski. So she, as a physician, is admitting you cannot properly dose fluoride. You know, they talk about concentration in the water at 7 parts per million, and they allude to the fact that, you know, they're trying to say that this is safe. But how can it be safe when you can't overall, during the course of a day, properly dose this drug? And it's impossible.
I found her dismissive of everybody else. It was like, I'm the Associate Medical Officer of Health in London, Ontario, and I know better than Pam Colleen. I know better than PhDs who wrote this book. I know better than the City of Calgary, better than the City of Waterloo. Trust me, let's move on. I found that very offensive.
Well, you know, she doesn't know that Health Canada hasn't done any studies. They haven't done any hands-on studies, you know, to monitor the any potential adverse effects from fluoride. They have not done them. She could not answer that question. What Health Canada is working on is a review. And as I told everybody, the review is being written by 6 people who have a history of being pro-fluoride. She also cited something called the York Review. And according to Professor Trevor Sheldon, who's the chair of that review, and I have his quotes right in front of me, he says he's tired of public health misrepresenting the review. He says that the review never showed fluoride to be safe. And he also said that they can't conclude that that fluoride even works. So, and she cited that review, and that's coming directly from the chair.
And what struck me, back to Mr. Rader for just a moment, Ralph Nader, who I think has tremendous credibility, he was saying that there are so many vested interests now, especially the U.S. government, industry, and so on, vested interests in convincing the public on an ongoing basis that fluoride is safe. And the other issue, and I went to his website last night just to see what he would say on the ethical argument about putting a chemical in the water when we have not given our health authorities the right to do that. I want to play you the clip of Ralph Nader from his website. You can go to his website yourself and hear him say this.
Many years ago, when I looked into the fluoridation issue, I asked the question, who shall decide? This obviously deals with a chemical application to the public drinking water, designed ostensibly to reduce cavities, which is a non-contagious ailment. The question should be, who decides? And in more and more communities, it's a administrative or regulatory agency that is making the decision without adequate public input. I think that's wrong. If you're going to put a chemical like a fluoride in the public drinking water without even coming to the conclusion about the total fluoride intake in the community from other sources of fluoride, before you make the decision, that's not up to anybody but the people by referendum, preceded by an informed debate. That is not happening in most communities now in America. My hometown in Connecticut was fluoridated by a precipitous decision of a state agency with no input from the residents of that community. When a state agency rules it, it overrides the local municipal agencies. It overrides the local referendum, and in effect says to the people that when you open your faucet, there's going to be something in that drinking water added that you did not give consent to. Now, it's one thing if it's an epidemic disease. This is not an epidemic disease.
One other point, if I could, Pam Colina, about Dr. Bryna Warshawski's presentation last week was the issue of fluorosis and what percentage of children have cavities, which she pointed to as a success story. Mm-hmm. You saw it quite differently.
Well, she's saying that the success means that 15% of children don't get cavities. Now, on any test or exam at school, of course, if you get 15%, that's a failure. 85% of children are getting cavities. And for some reason, this is some sort of massive success as a manifestation of, you know, fluoridating our water. And I don't call that a success at all. But I want to point out some figures that were sent to me by Dr. Hardy Limebach. And basically,
let me just mention who he is. He's one of Canada's best known dental professors at the University of Toronto, who's been very outspoken on this issue.
Mm-hmm. And he was not asked to be on this Health Canada review of fluoride. At any rate, he says that in the end, after 20 years of fluoridation here in London, Ontario, and this is assuming no equipment is replaced, you end up paying $2.65 million. It only saves $1.4 million in fillings and costs parents an extra $4.37 million to treat dental fluorosis. And basically, he's calling this madness, and it is. I mean, it just doesn't economically make any sense in terms of kids' self-esteem. You know, Dr. Warshawski mentioned self-esteem with regards to dental decay, but there's also issues with self-esteem when it comes to dental fluorosis as well.
Well, one thing Dr. Warshawski knows as a doctor, it's important to get your sleep at night. How she sleeps at night, I don't know if she hasn't even read the book.
Right. And the other element, of course, is when you talk about people from low income groups. You know, I teach classes on the foods that help support good dental health. And, you know, they need, these people from public health need to be coming to my classes so they can learn about what's really causing tooth decay in the first place. So if she's going to talk about low income families, we need to look at the fact that they're eating more carbohydrates. They're eating more processed foods. And this is really what's causing tooth decay. It's not about putting, you know, more chemicals in their body. It's about putting good nutrition in their bodies. And they're ignoring that element.
643-1290. We're going to open up the phone lines in just a moment. If you'd like to weigh in on this, the phone lines are always open. But what you thought of Dr. Bryna Warshawski's presentation last week, if you thought it was spectacular, we'd love to hear from you. 643-1290. When we come back, we're going to go to Calgary and talk to Dr. James Beck, who was crucial in convincing Calgary to ditch fluoride from their water, and ask him what he thought of Dr. Bryna Warshawski's presentation. Back with that and Pam Colleen in just a moment here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
You're listening to London Today with Andy Udman. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can email londontoday@cjbk.com or call 519-643-1290.
We are talking about fluoride in the water. As we have for weeks, we are responding to Dr. Bryna Warshawski's presentation last week, which was dismissive of Dr. Paul Connett and so many others who've spoken out about fluoride and want to get it out of the water. In studio with Pam Colleen. Chris, we're going to get to you in just a moment, Dr. Beck. Pam, you were saying that at Western this week when Ralph Nader was there, you were talking to some kids about fluorosis, this white spotting on the teeth caused by fluoride.
No, I was actually just talking to some kids randomly, and I noticed four of the kids that I spoke with, two of them had very visible fluorosis, and these were young students about the age of 20.
Now, for those who don't know what fluorosis is, you and I have seen the pictures at Dr. Connett's presentation.
It's the white specks on the teeth, and CDC just published some research saying that, you know, about 41% of children, I believe, I think it's the age groups between 12 and 15, are showing dental fluorosis. So if you're seeing visible signs of the excessive consumption of fluoride on the teeth, what's it doing to the rest of the body? And as responsible physicians, as responsible public health officials, they should be asking this question and digging into the research to really find out. And that's essentially what Dr. Connett has done, but that's not what our public health officials are doing.
So if fluoride is doing this to our teeth, mm-hmm. what is it doing to our bones?
Exactly.
Because there's a direct connection.
Yeah, what's it doing to our organs? What's it doing to the rest of the body, essentially?
Okay, Chris, your thoughts this morning?
I just wanted to make a comment regarding Dr. Warshawski last week.
Yes.
She said she believes, we are looking for science. This is like religion for her. And here she is, all these health board doctors have the same script and just mindlessly keep speaking. This is the best thing since sliced bread. It's like saying that putting lead in your water is the best thing since sliced bread, and knowing that lead is, fluoride is more toxic than lead. And that was my comment on her.
What did you think of the fact that she hadn't even read Dr. Connett's book?
Absolutely incredible. Can you imagine not knowing anything except regurgitating all the rubbish that she's been regurgitating with the rest of her?
Chris, I've talked to a couple of dentists in London. They say, you know, to me, this is them speaking out, the verdict is still out on fluoride. I'm trying to do the research. But the fact that she didn't even read the book, I found disgusting. Chris, appreciate the call. Let's go to Charles. Charles, go ahead.
Okay, in the late 1960s, our late minister, Reverend Shepherd, ran on the platform that fluoride was poison for young people. Now, that's nearly 50 years ago. My question is, why has it taken all this time for somebody to start bringing this up again, that it's poison? Why has nothing been done much, much sooner?
Gordon Sinclair, one of our callers pointed out, said 40 years ago he didn't want rat poison in his drinking water.
Yeah, but that's only one person. I'm talking about why is nothing been done about it? Like, people have been drinking this water all this time.
That's an excellent, excellent question, and Pam has the answer. There are certain vested interests in that.
Well, you know, the sugar industry wanted to basically hide the fact that they were eating too much sugar back in the 1940s and 50s was contributing to the high incidence of tooth decay.
Yeah.
And they did not want to be blamed for causing tooth decay. So fluoride came out as the hero. So you have the villain and the hero going on here. And that's really what happened is that, you know, fluoride came along to rescue the sugar industry.
Charles,
but if it's done all of this harm, is there any way to reverse what it's done?
Well, you know, what we can do is just basically get it out of the water, turn off the tap and stop adding it to our city water. We would save a lot of money in terms of municipal spending.
No, Charles, let me do this, Charles.
If it's been harming people all this time, can you reverse the harm that it has done?
Hard to know. Nobody's doing the research that I know of that.
Once your bones are brittle, once you have arthritis, it's pretty tough to undo it. But Charles, I like your question so much. Can I bounce it off of Dr. James Beck from Calgary, who's on the line?
Sure.
Dr. Beck, are you there?
Yes, I'm with you.
I don't know if you heard Charles's question. I thought it was an excellent question. Fluoride's been in the water 50 years. Why have we seen it continued? How have the forces that have insisted we keep fluoride in the water managed to convince entire populations, until recently, that it is safe?
Well, I think that's a hard question to answer. Why has it continued? Why has the support continued from our authorities who are supposed to be protecting our health? It's easier to answer the question, perhaps not with absolute certainty, but with some certainty of how it got started. But I think Dr. Warshawski and the other proponents, and especially those who work for governments that are fluoridating our water, are trapped in a myth, and they just can't see their way to admitting they're wrong. And what is most disturbing about this is something that was indicated by Dr. Warshawski's comments, is that they don't know or don't recognize or seem to understand the scientific research that has raised this question of harm. There are very solid evidence for the harm to various body systems. Even if that evidence doesn't mean absolute certainty, it certainly means that the research should be done to get a better hold on the question of whether these harms are produced. And these governments that promote fluoridation are not supporting such research. Dr. Warshawski says she spent the last 8 weeks trying to educate herself on fluoridation. Well, I'm sorry, Dr. Warshawski, you've got to do a lot more work than that. Mm-hmm. And when you start that work, you have to start it with an open mind.
Yes, surely.
Charles, we're going to let you go. There's a couple of questions, Dr. Beck. I want to, if you could just take another moment or two to just review Dr. Warshawski's presentation last week. 2 minutes. Give us, let's make it 1 minute because we are running short of time. And then I want to ask you about the Health Canada review. But Dr. Warshawski's presentation last week, your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are that it's just boringly repetitive. I've heard that from many medical officers of health.
Was she reading from a script? Is this the script that all the health units and the health ministry generally reads from?
Well, it sounds that way. We can't demonstrate that. We have to ask them. But they deny all the existence of all this evidence, and that is frustrating because they've been told. I know I personally have talked with several medical officers of health and here in Alberta, and pointed out to them, here's this evidence, and here's this evidence, and here are these papers, and they don't accept that those papers even exist.
Dr. Beck, if they won't even read the book written by 3 PhDs, we give up. But because we're limited on time, I want to ask you about the Health Canada review on fluoride, which is coming out, apparently, very soon. They've got a panel to study fluoride. The panel's been stacked.
Yes, well, that's also typical. I mean, it's not just Health Canada that has chosen fluoride promoters to review the efficacy and safety of fluoridation. That's quite general. And I think Pam Killeen has just this morning on your program commented effectively on this. I think that she's correct that the panel was biased in its composition, and it didn't spend much time thinking over the problem.
We need
until they spent about a day.
We need 10 seconds of advice about those in London who are determined, like I am, to get fluoride out of the water. What do we do now?
Well, for one thing, if you're not convinced either way, but you think there's doubt, then you stop it until you show that it is safe and effective.
Dr.
You
Beck,
don't keep doing it until somebody has proven absolutely that it's not safe or not effective.
Good advice. I wish we had more time, Dr. Beck. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, parting word from Pam. Last word goes to you, Pam.
Well, I think, you know, one thing I learned recently was that Public Health Service did do a study in 1977, and it showed that in areas where the cities were fluoridated, that they had higher higher cancer rates than in non-fluoridated cities. So there you go.
That's what makes me so determined to get fluoride out of the water. All this research which suggests it is linked to cancer and arthritis and brittle bones and fluorosis. Dr. Warshawski, do us all a favor and start listening.